أي بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 10th session, reading from the Sharh of العقيدة الواسطية by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, with the commentary of al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah. And before we look at the ayat of the Quran that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions in this chapter, we're going to review some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 9. The first question being, mention the sifat of Allah from the title of this chapter, and any ism or any name of Allah related to these sifat, yani the sifat that are mentioned in the chapter. Okay, so mention a sifa, and mention if there's a name that goes with it, what is the name? Naam. Mahmood. Love, yani mahabba, naam. And is there a name that goes with al-mahabba? Amir. Al-wadood. Al-wadood. Anybody agree or disagree with that? Who agrees with that? Al-wadood goes with al-mahabba. Who does not agree with that? Okay. in reality, yani the name that comes from the same root as al-mahabba is habib or mahbub. But in any case, the meaning is there. The meaning is there. So we can just make a note that the meaning is there. Okay? Yani the sifa that al-wadud comes from is what? Anybody know? Al-mawadda. 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 Waja'ala bainahuma. Okay, yeah, it's love, that's right. Also has the same meaning, but from a different root. Okay, so, okay, what else? Other sifa of Allah. Another sifa that's mentioned in the title, besides al-mahabba. Naam.
Mercy.
Ar-Rahmah. Taib, any name goes with that? Any name of Allah that goes with the sifa of Ar-Rahmah? Huh? What do you say? A little bit louder. I see your mouth moving, I don't hear anything.
Ar-Rahman.
Taib, Ar-Rahman, naam. Yani Ar-Rahman is yani from it, yani the sifa that comes from it is Rahmah. What about Ar-Rahim? As well. Naam. Another sifa. Sifa that's mentioned in the title. Mahabba, Rahmah, what else?
Rida.
Naam. Huh? Who said that? Rida. Ar-Rida. Is there any name that goes with Ar-Rida? Any name of Allah that goes with this sifa, Ar-Rida. Yani the one who is pleased. Is there a name of Allah like that? طيب, next sifa.
Anger.
Ghadab. طيب. Any name of Allah that goes with anger? Any al-ghadib? Is that a name of Allah? Al-ghadib? The one who is angry? No. Any other sifa besides that? Anger. Now what else? Karahiya. Karahiya means what?
Hatred.
To hate something. Naam. Naam. Is there any name of Allah that goes with that? Al-Kari? Is that a name of Allah? No. What are other sifa mentioned in the title? As-Sakhat. Now what is there any name of Allah that goes with that? As-Sakhat? No. Okay, so these are some of the sifat of Allah that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is going to mention in the ayat that come. These are some of them. And that came in there that we mentioned last week. And one of those sifat, Ar-Rahmah, it is a sifa that comes from a name of Allah, that is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Question number 2, mention 3 of the descriptions of people loved by Allah. Descriptions of people loved by Allah. In the ayat mentioned by the mu'allif, in the ayat mentioned by the author, help me. I'm trying to get his name. Now, huh? The righteous, the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa. Allah loves the people of taqwa. Another description of people that's loved by Allah. Amir. The muqsitin means what?
Just.
That Allah loves those who are just, who are equitable. Another description of people that Allah loves that was mentioned in the ayat of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Huh?
Mustaqeen.
Yani muttaqeen. Muttaqeen, naam. But there's one more ayat that he mentioned, clearly, naam. Fadl.
Muhsin.
the muhsinin. Inna Allaha yuhibbu al-muhsinin. Now, so the point here is, though, is for us to realize that there are descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned of people in the Quran that He loves. So these are descriptions that we want to be described with if we want Allah's love. These are the types of descriptions that we need to take on. Question number 3. Memorize an ayah from the Quran which shows that Allah loves and is loved. For example, by the true believers. Pierre. Just why I got your name in my mind before I forget it. Say that one more time. Wahuwa? Al-Ghafur wa-Dud. Tayyip. So the point here is an ayah from the Quran, yani, not a name, Wadud is a name, but an ayah from the Quran that actually mentions Allah loving people and people loving Him. An ayah in which is mentioned that Allah loves people and people love Him. Which one of the ayahs did Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mention? Like this. Adu. Now, if you, yani, Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you, to say to the people, if you really love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you love Allah, that's showing the people loving Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you. Then Allah will love you. So it shows that, in this ayah, that the people, there are people who love Allah, and there are people who Allah loves. Another ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, يَأْتِ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Yani, they love him and he loves them. Or he loves them and they love him. Now, question number 4. What is the meaning of Allah's ism, Al-Wadud, as explained by the Shari, the explainer of the original text? Yani, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. How did he define the name of Allah, Al-Wadud? Al-Wadud. Okay, mashallah. Mahmood. Mahmood, huh? Yes. He's most beloved to those who love him. What are the words in Arabic that he used when he said the meaning of this name, Al-Wadud? He said it is? Al-Habib. And he said? Al-Mahbub. These two words are words that have the same meaning. He's saying that the meaning of Al-Wadud is Al-Habib. Yani, one that is loved or beloved. And Al-Mahbub. Yani, also having the same meaning, even though we did mention that some of the scholars have a different yani view concerning this, and some of them said that Al-Wadud includes both meanings, yani the meaning of one who is beloved by the believers and also who loves. Yani some of the scholars said it has both of those meanings. Question number 5. How does the Shari explain of the text express our iman in Allah as it relates to His asma and His sifat? I remember last week we mentioned that the translation has a little bit of any problem in the translation, but any, I hope somebody made a note of that. How did Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, how did he say, yani, how did he express our iman in Allah as it relates to His asma wa sifat? Okay, so there are several points that he mentions, and we'll just take a couple of points from whoever can remember some of them. Now, Fia. Okay, the meaning is known, but the how is not. Okay, absolute. That's a very important point. Now, Amir. We believe in His asma and sifat, which are confirmed in the Quran and the authentic sunnah. This is very important. Yani, what we believe in from names of Allah and sifat of Allah is what is confirmed in the Quran and in the authentic sunnah. Naam. Another point that he mentions. And that's Ahmed. Oh. What's your name? Muhammad? That should be the easiest one to remember. Adam, did you have your hand up? No. No? Okay. Somebody over here? No. Huh?
So I didn't have my book list.
Oh, you didn't have your book list. Fayyid, go ahead.
We believe in His asma' in a manner that is befitting.
That we believe in His asma' or His sifat in a manner that is befitting of Allah. That's suitable, appropriate for Allah. And not in any kind of way that is inappropriate or unsuitable for Allah's greatness and His majesty and His glory. Now, another point? I think that's 4 maybe? What else? What else did he say? He also mentioned that, Talib?
Without this, we believe in them without distorting, denying them. And we say that
all are haq as they came.
Okay, that's 2 points. Now, okay, but we believe in them without distorting them, without denying them, without explaining how, without making examples with the creation. Now, and the second point you were making?
That we say that they all are haq as it came, his names are perfect, and
okay.
Confirm them for Allah as he did in his book.
Okay, the confirmation that we confirm for Allah what he has confirmed for himself. We affirm for Allah what he affirmed for himself in the Quran and what the Prophet ﷺ affirmed for him and the Sahaba. Now, okay, so I think that's most of the points that we covered. Anybody have another point that we missed? Okay, we'll suffice with that, inshallah. We'll come back to this question again in the end. Question number six. Why has Allah called or described his asma as husna? Why has he described his names as being beautiful? According to the sharih, the explainer of the text. Yani he said that Allah's names are beautiful. He described his names as husna for what reason? Why did he describe them as husna? I'm going to go on this side now. Muhammad. The easiest name to remember. Wow. Naam. Because of the perfection, because of their perfection and the perfection of their meanings, because of the perfection of his names and the perfection of their meanings. So he referred to them as al-asma al-husna, meaning asma that are perfect and their meanings are perfect. They have no defect that can be yani attributed to them. Question number 7. The Shari explainer of the text concludes this chapter saying, this is the tariq, the way of Ahli Sunnah. Complete that statement. What did he say? This is the tariq, the way of Ahli Sunnah. Anybody? The last paragraph of it. Tayyib, nobody up here that we didn't see their hands yet? Tayyib, Fadl, Amir.
And the way and methodology of believing in these facts and asma' of Allah.
Okay, he said that this is the tariq of Ahl Sunnah and their sabil and their manhaj, their methodology of believing in the sifat of Allah. And he also said believing that they are haq, that they are real. These sifat are not allegorical or figurative. These are real qualities, characteristics or descriptions of Allah. They are real. And he also said that they are la'iqat, yani that they are befitting, suitable, appropriate to be ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also said to the end of the paragraph that these sifat, they are real and they are also naam, befitting to His Majesty,
and the meaning of them is true but no one knows how except for
them. And that's the final point that he made that's critically important. The meaning of them are true, the meanings are true, they are real, but nobody knows how they are except Allah Himself. So what is the point here? He ends with that the meanings, the sifat of Allah are real descriptions of Allah, and their meanings are real. But the how of it, the intrinsic reality, is not known to us. It's not known to us. Their meanings are known, and they are real. And what is intended is what they mean. But how it is in reality, yani, the intrinsic yani reality of Allah's sifat are known only to Him. Okay, so the last question, summarize in 6 points what the Shari explainer of the text mentions from questions 5 and questions 7. Can he summarize what came under question 5 and yani anything that's added in question 7 that wasn't mentioned in question 5? Yani all of the characteristics that are mentioned between those two statements, yani summarize them in 6 or 7 points. Now, let's start over on this side. 1. We believe in Allah and His names and His fact that are confirmed in the Quran and authentic Sunnah. Okay, so we're repeating what we had in the previous question. We're trying to put them together. What was mentioned in each of those two places, putting them together. Because some of them overlapping, in some places there's something different, he said. Okay, first, that what is confirmed in Quran and authentic Sunnah. Yusuf.
Without asking how
No, without making negation, denying, distorting, explaining how, or giving examples. No, what else? What else? We just said those, we just mentioned six of them before. Now, okay, that these sifat of Allah are real, but how they are is not known, only known to Allah. Naam, what else? I think there's one we didn't mention when we did question five also. Naam, Muhammad. They don't resemble the sifat, yani, of the created beings. His names don't resemble the names of the created beings, and his sifat don't resemble the sifat of the created beings. Naam, Ahmed. That they're perfect. Okay, that his names are yani al-husna. That means that they are yani kamil, complete, perfect. Naam, what else? Huh? No, I mean in terms of yani, we know that this is the sabil, this is the tariq, this is the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah. But what are the points that we want to mention? Okay, we want to mention that they are confirmed in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah, that we don't have denial or distortion, that they should be yani understood, yani that they are real sifat, but only Allah knows yani the how of them. What else did we say? He said that they don't resemble. Yani, they don't resemble the sifat or the names of the created beings. Yani, there's no resemblance. They're not similar. They're not equal. Yani, Allah's sifa of knowledge is not like the knowledge of the human being. It's knowledge, and that's knowledge, but they're not similar. They're not equal. Naam. Okay, so we mentioned several points, yani, from amongst those points also of importance is, you know, to make sure that we mention that the sifat of Allah are not allegorical, they are not figurative, they are real, they are haq, they are real. But they must be understood in a way that is suitable and appropriate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the how of them is known only to Allah. And the how of them is known only to Allah. Now, and one point that we mentioned previously, I think we didn't repeat it now, or maybe we did, maybe he started with it in the beginning, Naam, the confirmation, confirming what's in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Okay, so these are some of the things that we're going to keep hearing again and again as we go through this book, as the Shaykh yani gives commentary on the different ayat that contain names of Allah or sifat of Allah. We're going to see him repeating these things that we confirm, what Allah has confirmed for himself, and that we understand them in a way that is appropriate and suitable and befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they have real meanings, but the how of them are known only to Allah. We're going to hear that again and again and again, that there shouldn't be any tahrif or ta'atil or taqyif or tamthil. And these are things that we're going to hear him saying again and again and again. And so hopefully that some of these principles that we looked at last week, that they will stay with us. These six or seven main points that we need to keep in mind all the time. Okay, tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be reading in English from page 54, I think. Page 54. Through 66, if we can read all of it. And in Arabic, we're going to be reading from page 35 through 38. 35, 36, 37, and 38. And here I just want to mention quickly that Sheikh Salih Al-Usaymi, Hafidhullah, mentioned that Sheikh Al-Islam Al-Taymiyyah mentions 111 evidences from the Quran in these ayat that we have been reading for the last few weeks. And he mentioned 16 ahadith that we're going to be seeing soon in the chapters that come. And amongst them are 28 names of Allah. And he said that there are 47 sifat of Allah outside of the sifat that come from the names of Allah. Besides the ones that are derived from the names of Allah, like from Ar-Rahman we get Rahmah. From Al-Aziz, yani we get Izzah. Outside of those sifat that came from the names of Allah, he mentions specifically, clearly, sifat that came in the Quran or the Sunnah, yani 47 sifat of Allah. Tonight we're going to see some of them that came in the Quran, yani that are not derived from names of Allah. Yani they are sifat of Allah, that there's no name that goes with them. So we want to pay attention to that a little bit tonight. And the second thing that we want to pay attention to is yani what's mentioned in the title at the beginning of this chapter. It says, ذِكْرُ بَعْدِ صفات الله مما جاء في القرآن الفعلية والذاتية كالإتيان والمجيء والوجه والعين واليدين. يعني the mention of some of the صفات of Allah from what came to us in the Quran, يعني صفات فعلية, الصفات الفعلية and الصفات الذاتية. So this is a very important principle, and it is the core to me of what we want to look at in this particular chapter. And I just want to read briefly from Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla fi Sifati Allah Ta'ala wa Asma'i Husna by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. Briefly, yani the sixth or the fifth principle related to the Sifat of Allah. And this is after he already mentioned that the Sifat of Allah may be looked at from the angle of those Sifat which are Thubutiyah, yani which are confirmed for Allah, and those which are salbiya, which are negated from Allah. And we talked about that previously. Sifat, things that are affirmed for Allah, and sifat that are negated from Allah. Right? So now he says, from amongst those sifat that are affirmed for Allah, they may also be looked at from two perspectives. He says, as-sifat al-thubutiyya tanqasimu ila qismain. Yani the sifat of Allah that are confirmed for him, that are affirmed for him, may be divided into two divisions, ذاتية and فعلية. And that's what is referred to in this title here, صفات الله الفعلية and ذاتية. Two types of صفات from those which are affirmed for Allah, that we confirm for Allah. In the Quran or in the Sunnah, they may be further divided into those which are ذاتية, related to Allah's ذات, His divine being, His divine being, His essence, His self. And those which are fi'liyah, which are related to his actions. And he explains what each of them mean. So from the surface meaning of these expressions, as sifat al-dhatiyah, we know that these are characteristics or qualities or descriptions of Allah that are related to his that, his divine being, his essence, his self. And from fi'liyah, we know that these are sifat that are actions. They are actions, some types of actions. But the Shaykh is going to explain it briefly, very, very briefly, in a way that makes it a little bit more clear so that we can understand what's the difference between them. As we read through these ayat, we want to try to identify those sifat which are ذاتية, related to Allah's ذات, and those which are فعلية, related to His actions. And what is the qaida, what is the principle for us to be able to distinguish between them? So he says, and this is brief, and there are many other explanations that he has given, and other scholars have given detailed pages and pages and pages, but I wanted to find something very brief, so I found this one being yani appropriate for our sitting like this. He says, الذاتية هي التي لم يزال ولا يزال متصفا بها. What are the صفات الذاتية? Those which Allah always was and always will be described with them. متصفا بها. He always was. There never was a time he wasn't described with them, and he always will be. There won't be a time when he won't be described with them. So these are sifat of Allah that are part of his that, his divine being, his essence, that are inseparable from him. He was always described with them and always will be described with them. كالعلم والقدرة والسم والبصر والعزة والحكمة والعلو والعظمة. He said, for example, from those descriptions that Allah always was described with and always will be described with, they are inseparable from him, from his divine being, his that, are knowledge and power or ability, hearing and sight, might or honor, wisdom, highness or loftiness, and greatness. Yani Allah was always described with knowledge, and always will be described with knowledge. Yani this is inseparable from him, that he is described with having perfect knowledge, perfect ability, hearing and sight, and wisdom, and so on. These are descriptions of Allah that are inseparable from Him. وَمِنْهَا السِّفَاتِ الْخَبَرِيَّةِ. And from amongst the sifat ذاتية that Allah always was and always will be described with, are a subdivision known as السِّفَاتِ الْخَبَرِيَّةِ. خَبَرِيَّةِ from خَبَر, يعني information that came to us from revelation, from the Quran or from the Sunnah. كَالْوَجْ وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالْعَيْنَيْنِ. Like Allah being described with a face, or two hands, or two eyes. Khabariya, some of the scholars said, is because there's no way for anybody to deduce or logically come up, yani derive, that he has a face or he has hands, except that we are informed. The information came through us by revelation from the Quran or authentic Sunnah. But all of these are sifat al-dhatiyah, that Allah always was described with and always will be described with. Whether it's being described with knowledge or power or hearing and sight, or whether it's the sifat, subdivision from them, khabariya, like that he has a face, or that he has two hands, or that he has two eyes. As far as al-fa'liya, al-sifat al-fa'liya, hiya allati tata'allaq bi-mashiyatihi. That's the rule. These are the sifat that are connected to his mashiya, to his will. These are sifat that are connected to his will. Meaning, إن شاء فعلها. If he wills, he did it. He does it. وإن شاء لم يفعل. لم يفعلها. And if he willed, he didn't do it. Meaning, these are things, these are actions of Allah that are connected to his will. He does them when he wills, if he wills. However he wills. To whomever he wills. And he doesn't do them if he doesn't. He's not like definitely always described with that particular type of action. Yeah, it means it's connected to his will. Whatever he does when he wills, then that means that's from the sifat al-fi'liyah. Yani, connected to his mashiyah. If he wills, he does it. If he doesn't will, he doesn't do it. For example, al-istiwa al-arsh. Yani, he ascended above his throne when he willed. It's not something that he was always described with. Before he created the throne, he didn't ascend. But when he willed, he ascended. And that was after he created the throne. Then he ascended above it. وَالنُّزُولِ لَسَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. And his descending to the heaven that is above this dunya. Yani, that's something connected to his will. He wasn't always descending, but he descended when he willed. And he descends when he wills, in the last third of the night. And also in this chapter we're going to see, Shaykh didn't mention it, but also we're going to see in this chapter, Al-Ityan wal-Maji'ah, that Allah comes, yani when he wills. And he will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. When he wills. The Shaykh goes on, and I'm just going to like quickly go through this part. He says, just so that there's no confusion, قَدْ تَقُونُ السِّفَ ذَاتِيَ فِعْلِيَ بِأَتِبَارَيْنِ كَالْكَلَامِ. Yani, it's possible that some sifat could be both ذَاتِيَ and فِعْلِيَ in consideration of these two things. That which he is always described with and always will be described with, and in consideration of him doing something when he wills. There are some sifat that these both yani considerations could be applicable to, like speech. فَإِنَّهُ بِإِعْتِبَارَ أَصْلِهِ صِفَةٌ ذَاتِيَّةٌ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَزَلْ وَلَا يَزَلْ مُتَكَلِّمًا. So, like the, from amongst those sifat that can be considered ذَاتِيَّةٌ and فِعْلِيَّةٌ is speech. Because in consideration of the asl, the origin of speech, it is a sifa dhatiya, that he always was described with speaking. There wasn't a time when Allah wasn't described as one who speaks. He always was described with speech. And that's a characteristic of perfection. That without it, yani anything in the creation that doesn't speak, that's a defect. So Allah always was described with it. From that perspective, it's dhatiya. Then Allah, he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, always was described and always will be described as mutakalliman, one who speaks. وَبِيَتِبَارْ أَحَدْ الْكَلَامِ. But if we consider his individual occasions of speaking, then it, from that perspective, is sifa fi'liyah. Yani, a characteristic that's considered fi'liyah, لِأَنَّ الْكَلَامِ يَتَعَلَّقْ بِمَشِيَتِي. Because his speaking on certain occasions was based upon his will. He willed to speak to Musa. He willed to speak at this time or on that occasion. So from that perspective, it's fi'liyah. Yani because what? يَتَكَلَّمُ مَتَى يَشَاء بِمَا يَشَاء. He speaks whatever he wills, with whatever he wills. And then the Shaykh goes on to say another point that yani is important, but it's not important to what we're talking about here. It's important to understanding what is yani as-sifat al-dhatiyya and sifat al-fi'liyya. Sifat dhatiyya are those characteristics, qualities or descriptions that Allah always was described with and always will be described with, as opposed to fi'liyah, or those characteristics or qualities or descriptions that are connected to his Mashiach, that he does whenever he wills, if he wills. Okay, so I'm going to leave it with that. And this discussion of the Sifat al-Dhati and Fi'liyah is a big discussion. Yani, probably we can read 10, 15, 20, 30 pages from various places, or even from one place, and discuss it in detail with lots of examples and sub yani points, yani that explanations of certain matters. Yani, that's not our intent here. Our intent here is to just introduce the idea, what are as-sifat al-dhatiyah? What are sifat as-sifat al-fi'liyah? So when we look at these sifat that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in the ayat that he mentions here, we want to be looking at, are these characteristics or qualities that Allah does whenever He wills, or are they things that He's described with, always was and always will be described with? They are part of His that, permanently, never separating from Him, inseparable from Him. So again, back to the title, back to the title again, ذِكْرُ بَعْدِ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ مِمَّا جَاءَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ وَالذَّاتِيَّةِ. The mention of some of the sifat of Allah from what came in the Quran, some of those sifat that are fi'liya, that He does whenever He wills, or dhatiya, that He's always been and always will be described with. I wanted to mention another point, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to allude to it. That Sheikh Salih Al Usaimi, he also mentions in his commentary on Al Aqidah Al Wasitiyah, that there's actually a difference between Al-Ityan and Al-Majiyah. And even though linguistically these words pretty much mean the same thing, and most of the scholars mention them together as though they are one, just two words that express the same meaning, coming. But he mentions that there's a difference between them. I don't want to go into the details of it because it will take us a little bit of time to explain it and make it clear. But in any case, basically, in summary, what he said is that Al-Ityan is Aqwa, is stronger than Majiyah. Yani that Maji, it just means that he came. As far as Al-Ityan, it means that he came with bikuwatin, that he came with strength. And then he mentions some ayats from the Quran for each of them, showing that coming, yani, with strength, for example, when he came to punish people, is different from just coming for other than that, not for punishing or, yani, showing force. Okay, so he made a distinction between them. Otherwise, and most of the scholars mention them together, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah appears to have mentioned them together, and the ayats, he has also mentioned them together. So from the sifat that are mentioned here in the title are Al-Ityan, coming, and Al-Maji, coming. I think they maybe have translated as arrival or arrival and coming, something like that. And face and two eyes and two hands. Qal al-Mu'allif, the author, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, and then he mentions all of these ayat. Allahu musta'an. The time. I'm not really sure exactly how to do this, but in any case. Okay, so the first ayats that he mentioned are ayats that are fi'liyah, connected to Allah's Mashiach. Al-Ityan wal-Majiyah. The first ayat he mentions from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 210th ayat, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَقُدِيَ الْأَمْرِ. Yani, are they waiting for anything except that Allah will come to them in the clouds, or in the shade of the clouds, and the angels as well, then the affair will be decided, will be finished. And the point here is what? He's saying, are they waiting for anything except that, and يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ, that Allah will come to them. So that's ityan. In the next ayat, he also mentions the same sifa, yani from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 158th ayat. The point that is yani important here, yani هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ. Yani, are they waiting for anything except that the angels will come to them, or that your Rabb will come to them? يَأْتِيَهُمْ yani, أَوْ يَأْتِي رَبُّكَ, yani ityan, again, coming. The third ayat he mentions is from Surah Al-Fajr, which is, I think, 89th surah, 21st and 22nd ayah, the saying of Allah, yani the second of those two ayahs where he says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Yani that Allah, your Lord, He came and the angels also in rows or in ranks. Yani, he mentioned here, yani the word, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. That's the shahid in this ayah. Yani, at the time when the earth yani at the last day when the earth will be yani destroyed, will be crushed, and then your Rabb will come and the angels will come in rows. The point here is yani the sifa of al-maji yani waja'a rabbuka. And then he mentions the last ayah that he mentions is from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th surah, 25th ayah, وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَنَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا. This ayah, yani the meaning of it is, on the day, remember the day in which the heavens will be rent asunder, will be torn apart by the clouds, yani with clouds, and the angels will descend, a grand descending, as they translated it. What is important here is that he doesn't mention either Allah coming, or yani ya'ti, yani ityan, or majia. The scholar says that's because that what is described in this ayat is what is going to happen at the coming of Allah in Yawm al-Qiyamah. That these events, Allah's coming, and these events of the cloud, of the sky being torn apart, and the clouds and the angels descending, that these are the things that are inseparable from what's going to happen with the coming of Allah in Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the mention of those events is the indication of Allah's coming, yani al-Majiyya al-Atiyan. The next ayat he mentions from Surah Al-Rahman, 55th Surah, 27th ayat, and here he talks about some sifat that are dhatiyah. These ayat are containing sifat dhatiyah, yani Allah's face, His two hands, and His eyes. And the first ayah he mentions from Surah Al-Rahman, 55th Surah, 27th ayat, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the face of your Rabb, and here the face, the wedge, is described as ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The face is described as possessing majesty and honor. The face of your Rabb will remain. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبُّكَ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So here the sifa of Allah is the wedge, that Allah has a face, and that's from the sifat al-dhatiyah. The next ayat he mentions is from Surah Al-Qasas, I think it's 88. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything will perish, will be destroyed except His face. Again, this is affirmation of the sifa of having a face, and this is from the sifat al-dhatiyah. The next ayat he mentions is confirming Allah's two hands, and he mentions from Surah Al-Sa'd, 38th surah, 75th ayat. This is from the sifat al-dhatiyah, yani that are inseparable from Allah. مَا مَنَاكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. What is it that has prevented you from prostrating to the one who I have created with my two hands? Yani confirming two hands for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next ayat, yani, is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, 64th ayat. The beginning of it, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. Yani that the Jews said Allah's hand is tied. To the end of the ayat, what is important here is the mention of hands for Allah in the beginning of this ayat and in the end of this ayat. Mentioning, affirming Allah's hand, Yadullah, and in the and in the end of, in the second part of the ayat, Bel Yadahu, yani two hands. His two hands are Mabasutatani, yani are outstretched. Yunfiku kayfa yasha. So both of these ayats are confirming Allah's hands, and all of this is from the sifat al-dhatiyah that Allah is always described with, inseparable from Him, not connected to His will, yani that He has this description if He wills or not. These are permanent descriptions of Allah. The next ayat is from Surah Al-Tur, 52nd Surah, 48th ayat, the saying of Allah, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. And be patient with yani the decision of your Rabb, for indeed you are under His eyes. This is the confirmation of eyes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, yani in the next, in Surah Al-Qamar, 54th Surah, 13th and 14th ayat, he mentions in the 14th ayat, yani tajri bi'ayunina jaza'an liman kana kufir. Yani that you will be moving or sailing underneath our eyes. This is confirmation of eyes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the sifat dhatiyah. And finally, he mentions also in Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 39th ayat, He said in this ayat, وَلِتُسْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي, that you will be brought up, yani, under my eye. So these are, yani, ayats which confirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sifat dhatiyah, that are khabariyah, things that we can only know from the revelation, from the Quran or authentic sunnah, that Allah has a face, that Allah has two hands, that Allah has eyes. After this he mentions more of sifat, of the sifat that are, yani, dhatiyah, other than khabariyah though, yani, things that descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is always described with, inseparable from Him. He mentions, for example, from Surah Al-Mujadila, which is 58th Surah, first ayah, وَقَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُوكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا, yani, that Allah indeed has heard the saying or the speech of the one who is disputing concerning her husband. And here, yani, this is a confirmation of Allah's characteristic of hearing, as sam', and this is from the sifat that are inseparable from Allah. Yani, Allah always was described with hearing. He always, yani, has the description of hearing and always will have the description of hearing. And it goes on to mention this sifat again in this ayat more than once. In the next ayat, Surah Ali Imran, third surah, 181st ayat, the saying of Allah, لَقَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ, yani, that indeed Allah has heard the saying or the statement of those who said, indeed Allah is poor and we are rich. Again, the sifa here that is confirmed in this ayat is the sifa, yani, dhatiyah of hearing, that Allah always did and always will hear. And again, the same sifa is described in Surah Az-Zukhruf, 43rd surah, 80th ayat, where he says, "Am yahsabuna anna la nasma'u sirrahum," yani, do they imagine, do they think that we do not hear their secret speech or their secret counsels, to the end of the ayat. After this, he mentions an ayat in which he confirms hearing and seeing. Surah Taha, 20th surah, 46th ayat, "Innani ma'akuma asma wa ara," indeed I am with the two of you, I hear and I see. So here as-sam is confirmed, and also ar-ru'ya, Allah seeing, His seeing is also confirmed here. After this came the ayat in Surah Al-Alaq, 96th surah, 14th ayat, "Alam ya'lam bi-anna Allaha yara," yani, that Allah sees, that Allah sees, yani, ar-ru'ya, from the sifat of Allah that are dhatiyah, yani, connected to His that. He was always described with these characteristics and always will be described with them. Yani, these are characteristics of perfection. For Allah not to be described with them would be, yani, the suggestion of imperfection. After this, he mentions the saying of Allah in Surah Shu'ara, 26th surah, 218th, 19th, and 20th ayat. And here, yani, there's the mention of hearing and knowledge and seeing. The saying of Allah, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ, yani, the one who sees you when you get up. And then he mentions in the end of it, yani, إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, He is the one who is السَّمِيعُ, the all-hearing, and Alim, the all-knowing. And so this is also, yani, here the characteristic of hearing and the characteristics of knowledge are derived from the names of Allah, As-Sami'u Al-Alim. Whereas in the beginning of the ayat, yani, the sifra is mentioned itself independent of Allah's name, yani, Alladhi Yaraka. After this, he mentions from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 105th ayat, also the confirmation of Allah seeing. وَقُلْ اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله والمؤمنون, yani, say, do, yani, deeds, work, do work, for Allah will see you, He will see your actions and His messenger and the believers, yani, will see you doing the works, the deeds, the amal. So these are sifat al-dhatiyah that are connected to Allah, always been described with them, always will be described with them, inseparable from Him. After this, he mentions two or three of the sifat of Allah that are require some discussion. We'll try to make it as briefly as possible. But when we come to the Shaykh's explanation, inshallah, we'll look at it then. But in any case, here he mentions from Surah Al-Ra'ad, 13th Surah, 13th Ayah, the saying of Allah, Huwa Shadidul Mihal. They translate it as severe in assault. Some of the scholars said that Al-Mihal means Al-Ghalaba Bi-Makrin Wa-Kaydin. Al-Ghalaba, to overcome by Makrin Wa-Kaydin. Yani to overcome by some kind of plan. Sometimes translated as plot, meaning that somebody makes a plan to do something while the one they're doing it to is unawares, doesn't know it. Yeah, I need to overcome them by this means, by makr or kaid. That's the meaning of al-mihal. So he mentions that, and then he mentions the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 54th ayah, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Yani that they made a plot or a plan, and Allah also plotted and planned, and Allah is the best of those who plot or plan. And of course, yani this description, the Shaykh mentions in his explanation, that this description is yani a description that's only applicable to Allah in response to the actions of the people, what they have done. It's not to be attributed to Allah in the absolute sense, yani, but it is a limited yani application to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a certain situation or circumstance. And we see it in this ayat, that because they plotted and planned to do something evil, so Allah made a plan to overcome their plan. And Allah is the best of those who plan. And then similarly, in Surah An-Naml, 27th Surah, 50th ayat, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Yani that they made a plan, and Allah made a plan while they were unaware. Yani where they didn't realize, yani what He was going to do to them. And again, we see that it's in response, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being described with this is in response to them. And if people make a plan or a plot to do something evil, to harm someone unjustly, so Allah makes a plan, yani, that is just, yani, to punish those people. They deserve to be punished for what they have done. So the application of the sifa of plotting or planning, yani, to Allah is in a praiseworthy manner, while to the people that are plotting and planning is in a dispraiseworthy manner. Yani that they are plotting and planning to do something evil, unjust, injustice, and Allah is planning, yani, to do that which is just. And then he mentions also from Surah Al-Tariq, 86 Surah, 15th and 16th ayat, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا, that they are planning some plan or some plot, and Allah says, and I also plan, yani, in opposition, yani, in response to their plan. These characteristics of al-mihal and al-makr and al-kaid, some of the scholars said their meanings are very, very similar, and some of them said that the meanings are pretty much the same, yani, not much difference between them. But all of them, what is important here is that they are only to be applied to Allah in a limited way, and that is in response, yani, to the people who plan and plot evil, then Allah makes a plan to counter it. Otherwise, these should not be applicable to Allah in the general sense. After this, he mentions pardoning, and he mentions forgiveness and rahmah and some other sifat in the ayats that follow. Before the closing of these ayats, he mentions, for example, from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 149th ayat, إِن تُبُدُوا خَيْرًا أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ أَوْ تَعَفُوا أَنْ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. Yani that if you disclose, do something, some good openly, or yani conceal it, or you pardon some evil, yani harm that was done to you, you pardon it, then indeed Allah is عَفُوًا. He is pardoning, قَدِيرًا, and He is powerful, yani able to do whatever He wills. So here we have yani the sifa of al-afu, and Allah, this is from Allah's yani sifat. Originally it's from Allah's sifat al-dhatiyah, because this is from the qualities of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He pardons and He overlooks and He forgives. And that Allah has power over everything is from His sifat al-dhatiyah. Then he mentions from Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 22nd ayat, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَيَّغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Yani, so let them pardon and let them overlook, yani the mistakes of others? Do you not love, do you not like that Allah should forgive you? And indeed Allah is forgiving, merciful. So again we have the sifa of pardoning and overlooking, yani the mistakes of others, and al-maghfirah, forgiveness, and ar-rahmah, from the name Rahim. So this pardoning and forgiving is from Allah's yani sifat dhatiyah, from the perfection of Allah's sifat dhatiyah. And perhaps from another perspective it could be looked at, yani that Allah forgives whomever He wills, whenever He wills, and He pardons whoever He wills, and yani whenever He wills. Then he mentions from Surah Al-Munafiqun, 63rd Surah, 8th Ayah, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِلْرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that the izzah, yani that the honor and the might belongs to Allah and His Messenger and the believers. And so this is also a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is from His dhatiyah, that He is, that is inseparable from Him, yani that He is mighty and He is, has honor. And finally he mentions وَقَوْلُهُ عَنْ Iblis, yani Allah's statement from Iblis, yani concerning what Iblis said, concerning the saying of Iblis. He said قَالَ, yani Iblis said, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that by your might, by your might, yani the izzah of Allah, he said, I swear by your might that I will mislead them all. So these are also yani from this is from the sifat of Allah that is inseparable from Him, that He was always described with al-izzah and always will be described with. And then finally the Shaykh closes with these final ayats. He says from Surah Ar-Rahman, 55th Surah, 78th ayat, تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Here, ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ is a description of your Rabb, رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, as opposed to the previous description, ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ was in reference to a description of Allah's face. He says, blessed is the name of your Rabb. Blessed, yani full of khair. Blessed, yani baraka. Blessed is the name of your Rabb, the possessor of, yani majesty and honor. Sheikh Salih Al-Usaymi, he says that this ayat is an affirmation of the sifa of Al-Jalal for Allah, yani which is the highest level of azama, greatness and glory, and also the sifa of Al-Ikram, yani honor, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors the believers, and that yani this yani so from the sifat of Allah confirmed in this ayat is Al-Jalal, yani Allah's majesty, and His ikram, yani honor. Then he mentions from Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th ayat, فَأَبُدْهُ وَاسْتَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًا, yani so worship Him, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and observe patience in yani His worship, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know anyone that is similar or equal to Him? So here in this ayat is a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is from the sifat that are negated from Allah, yani that there's no one like Him. This is a sifa of negation. And likewise in the final ayat that he mentions from Surah Al-Ikhlas, 112th Surah, 4th ayat, the saying of Allah, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, and there is no one that is equal to Him or comparable to Him. And this is also from the sifat of negation. Yani Allah is negating that there is anyone comparable to Him, anyone equal to Him. So these are the ayat that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions. And these are some of the sifat that are obvious, that are obvious in these ayat. And there are some that are not as obvious that we skipped over, just for the sake of yani leaving it clear, what's clear, yani going to that which is clear. So the time is short right now, and what do you think, Imam? Help me. I don't want to rush through. Yani the main core of what we wanted to mention is in the ayat themselves. The Sheikh's commentary is much of what we have mentioned previously. If I could take a few extra minutes, we still have 5 minutes or so left to the hour, and if we can take 10 more minutes, maybe we can just finish this chapter, because like I said, most of what the Sheikh is mentioning here in his commentary is what he has mentioned in reference to the previous ayat, and if there's anything different here, inshallah, we'll just stop on it briefly. Otherwise, we'll just kind of go through it. What is important here is that these ayat contain sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few of them are sifat that we understand from the names of Allah. Most of them are sifat that are not connected, that are not derived from names, but sifat that are mentioned clearly as descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aside from His names. And the important thing here is to distinguish between those sifat which are inseparable from Allah, that He's always been described with them and always will be, as opposed to those sifat, sifat dhati, as opposed to the sifat fi'liya, which are connected to His mashiyah, that He only does when He wills, if He wills. Naam. So in the second half of the page 36 in the Arabic, I don't know what page we're on in English, but I know what page we're on in English, 61 it should be, the sharh of the Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says, rahimahullah, these noble ayat, كلها تشتمل على جملة من الصفات لرب عز وجل. These ayat contain a number of characteristics of Allah our Rabb عز وجل. And الواجب فالواجب إثباتها لله على الوجه اللائق بالله سبحانه وتعالى. This is the first point. That what is obligatory upon us in reference to these sifat is to confirm them for Allah in a manner that is befitting, that is suitable, that is acceptable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, من غير تحريف ولا تعتيل ولا تكييف ولا تمثيل. And we've heard this before. And without distortion, without denial, without explaining how they are, making examples, from the things in the creation to explain Allah's sifat. And from them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayat that we mentioned from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 210th ayat. The important point of this ayat is, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ. That Allah, ityan, the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, from Surah Al-An'am, 6th surah, 158th ayat, as we mentioned in the text, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِي رَبُّكَ. The coming of your Rabb. And likewise, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr, 89th surah, 22nd ayat, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, Allah's coming. These are sifat of Allah. The Shaykh is repeating some of the ayat that the Shaykh mentions, and he says, فَإِتْيَانُ اللَّهِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَجِيُهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ حَقٌّ عَلَىٰ الْوَجْءَ اللَّائِقِ بِاللَّهِ. That the coming of Allah, whether it's from the description of ityan or the description of majiyah, the coming of Allah in يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ is true. He will actually come. It's a reality. But it should be understood in a manner that is appropriate, that is suitable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed Allah, لا يشابه خلقه. He doesn't resemble His creation في شيء من صفاته. And this is, this addresses the issue of one of the questions that somebody asked last week. Are there any sifat of Allah that this is not applicable to? The Shaykh says, لا يشابه خلقه في شيء من صفاته. He doesn't resemble His creation in anything of His sifat. There's no sifa of Allah that resembles a sifa, of the creation. Then he says, he's saying, أَوْ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ, or the coming of some of the ayat of your Rabb. He said this, the coming of some of the ayat of your Rabb, he means this is in reference to تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا, from the signs of the last day, is the rising of the sun from the place of its setting. The rising of the sun from the place where it was its place of setting. And then he says, he mentions the ayat, in reference to Allah's face and His hands and His eyes. He mentions those ayats, the saying of Allah, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and the face of your Rabb, that is the, described with possessing majesty and honor, will remain. The face of your Rabb will remain. And كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهُ, everything will perish except His face. These are confirmation. He said, فِي إِثْبَاتْ الْوَجْ لِلَّهِ حَقٌّ. This contains the affirmation of the description of having a face for Allah, and that description is haqqun. It is a reality. It is real. It is not figurative. It is real. Lahu al-wajh al-kareem. He has a noble face, the noble face. Wa qaluhu bal yadahu mabsutatani. Indeed, his two hands are outstretched. Yani Allah spends, yani freely. From Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 64th Ayat. He says, this ayah is the proof that Allah is mawsuf bil yadain aydan. That he is also described with having two hands. Kama lahu al-wajh al-kareem jalla wa ala. In the same way that he is describing with having the noble face. وكذلك له العين, and he also has the eye, and he is described with having eye or eyes, and he came in the Quran or in the Sunnah in the singular, in the dual, and in the plural. And some of the scholars have a long discussion concerning this. What is important is the affirmation that Allah has eyes. This is as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِتُسْنَعُوا عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي, that you will be brought up, yani under my eye. Surah Taha, 20th Surah, 39th Ayah, and the saying, Tajri bi ayunina, yani sailing or moving under our eyes. Also, he said this is in confirmation of Mawsuf bil Ain, that Allah is described with eyes. Wal Basar, and sight, seeing. And Asam, hearing, ala wajh laik bihi subhanahu, in a manner that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كل هذه الصفات يجب إثباتها لله على وجه لائق به. All of these صفات, يعني whether they are صفات ذاتية or صفات فعلية, يعني everything that Allah has confirmed for himself in the Quran, in these ayat, as well as in the authentic sunnah, يجب إثباتها لله على وجه لائق به. يعني that it is obligatory upon us to confirm them in the manner that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, yani suitable and appropriate to be, yani for him to be described with. And then he says, this one does require some discussion, but for the sake of time, we're going to make it yani very, very short. He says, وَهَكَذَا الْمَكْرُ الْمُكَيَّدْ بِالْمُقَابِلِ. And likewise, yani what we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have to confirm his, whatever he is, describes himself with, but in a manner that's befitting of him. He said, likewise, and the same thing with al-makru, yani plotting or planning, al-mukayyadu bil-muqabil, that is, yani limited or restricted as a response, yani a description that is a response to the to an action. Yani the people plotted and planned evil and injustice, and so Allah responded to them with a plan, yani to overcome or to in response to their plan. So, al-makru, it is a sifa that is ascribed to Allah in a limited, yani restricted fashion, only in response to the, yani plotting and planning of the people. He said, wa makaru Allah, yani they plotted or they planned and Allah responded to them, yani by the plan, yani the plan that will overcome them, a plan, yani to overcome them in a way that they didn't see it coming. This is from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 54th Ayat. And then the Shaykh says, and likewise, Al-Kaid, yani Al-Makru, and Al-Kaid, and this ayat, Al-Kaid, yani Surah Al-Tariq, 15th and 16th ayat, Innahum yakiduna, kayda wa akidu kayda, yani they plotted a plan, and Allah also made a plan, wa huwa, and he is, yani huwa, makrun wa kaydun bihaqin, yani these descriptions of Allah, yani of makrun wa kaydun, plotting and planning, bihaq, yani is in reality, yani, يَلِيكُ بِاللَّهِ. It is a reality that is befitting or appropriate or suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يُشَابِهُ قَلْقَهُ فِي مَكْرِهِ وَلَا فِي كَيْدِهِ. Allah does not resemble anything in the creation in this description of مكر and in this description of كيد, of plotting and planning. طيب. And again, for the sake of time, we're going to just go to the remaining comments of the Shaykh concerning the remaining sifat that he mentions. He says, Hakada samuhu, and in the same way, the same rules are applicable here, affirming for Allah what he has affirmed for himself, yani in a way that is befitting or suitable for Allah, without there being any resemblance to any descriptions or characteristics of the created beings. He said, similarly, the same thing is applicable to his hearing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Mujadala, وَقَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُوكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا, that Allah indeed has heard the statement or the speech of the one who, yani, is disputing concerning her husband to the end of the ayat. And also he mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 181st ayat, Inna Allah is Sami'un Alim. Indeed, Allah is the one who hears, all hearing and all knowing. And these are names of Allah that are affirmed here. And there are sifat that are directly derived from them, hearing and knowledge. Yani as-sam and al-ilm. And he says, Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 75th ayat, Inna Allah is Sami'un Basir. Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. And again, these are names of Allah that are affirmed here, and immediately directly derived from them are the sifat of as-sam, hearing, and al-basr, seeing. He says, إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ to other sifat, مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الْكَثِيرَاتِ فِيهَا as-sam وَفِيهَا الْعِلْمِ وَالْبَصْرِ. And there are many ayat in which the descriptions of Allah or the characteristics of Allah of hearing and of knowledge and of seeing are affirmed. Then he said, وَآيَاتْ كَثِيرَاتْ فِيهَا الْمَحَبَّةِ. And also there are many ayat that contain the description of Allah of al-mahabba, that He loves. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ حَقٌ. All of these are real sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَجِبُ إِثْبَاتُهُ لِلَّهِ عَلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِكَ بِاللَّهِ. And it is obligatory upon us to affirm them for Allah in a manner that is befitting of Allah, that is, yani, appropriate and suitable for Allah. Yani we shouldn't understand them in a way that's unbecoming of Allah, that's unbefitting of Allah. Yani we affirm them for Allah, but not in a manner that a person understands them, yani that has a meaning that's not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani we affirm them for Allah, but in the way that it has a perfect, yani good meaning, perfectly good meaning. So then he says, then he mentions Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th Ayat, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًا. Do you know that there is anyone comparable or equal to him? وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Is there anyone, yani, comparable or equal to him? I mean, there is no one comparable or equal to him. Both of these are sifat of negation. These are, yani, descriptions that are negated from Allah, that there is no one equal, comparable, or similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, yani, from Surah Al-Nahl, 74th ayat, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ أَمْثَالًا. And don't make any examples for Allah, yani examples in the creation to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّهَا حَقٌ يَجِبُ إِثْبَاتُهَا لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ وَلَا تَعْتِيلٍ وَلَا تَأْوِيلٍ وَلَا سَمْ لَهُ. I'll stop there. He mentioned the word ta'wil here, and that's a word that we didn't see before, but this is from the things that we yani have to distance ourselves from in affirming the names of Allah, the qualities of Allah, I should say. All of these characteristics of Allah are haqqun, they are real. It is obligatory upon us to affirm them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is appropriate to Allah, without distortion, tahrif, without denial, ta'atil, without ta'wil, giving a false interpretation, yani a meaning that is not supported by yani the textual evidences from Quran and the Sunnah, or from the linguistic yani perspective as well. And then he says, لَهُ سَمْعٌ لَا كَالْأَسْمَاءِ, that Allah is yani described with hearing, having the characteristic of hearing, but not like the hearing of the created beings, and basar, yani sight, but not like the sight of the created beings, and eyes, but not like the eyes of the created being, and hands, not like the hands of the created beings, and foot or feet, not like the feet of the created beings. وَهَكَذَا بَقِيَةُ sifat. And this way, this is how we look at the remaining sifat of Allah that are confirmed in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah. And Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, in Surah Ash-Shura, 11th ayat, that there's nothing like him while he is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. And again, this ayat we've seen many times. It is the principal ayat or principal proof that there's nothing like Allah, and at the same time though we affirm what He has affirmed for Himself without there being any similarity between the descriptions of Allah and the descriptions of the created beings. The Shaykh closes by saying, Sifatuhu haqqun taliqu bihi la tushabihu fiha khalqahu jalla wa ala. Yani that all of Allah's sifat are real, but in a manner that is taliqu bihi, that is suitable, befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't resemble in these sifat anything of His creation, yani of their sifat. يَجِبُ إِثْبَاتُهَا لِلَّهِ عَلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِكَ بِاللَّهِ. And he repeats, it's obligatory upon us to confirm them in a manner that is befitting of Allah, without tahrif, distortion, or ta'atil, denial, or takyif, explaining the how of them, attempting to explain how they are, or tamthil, making examples from the creation to try to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, al-bab wahidun in the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And so this, the bab wahid, meaning that in this subject of the sifat of Allah, the rule, the way we deal with them, the way, the rule that we apply to them is the same for all of his sifat. We affirm whatever he has affirmed for himself in a manner that's befitting of him without distortion or denial and so on, and that there's no resemblance between, yani, the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the creation. The sifat of Allah are real sifat, should be understood in a way that's suitable for Allah, and only Allah knows how they are. He said, al-bab wahid in the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, وهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأتباعه وأتباعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Yani that this is the way the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah see the sifat of Allah, all of them, in the same rules are applicable to them. And the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who are they? They are the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and those who followed the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين, yani in a good manner, in an excellent manner, until Yawmuddin, meaning who followed them, yani exactly the way on their path, yani followed their path completely. And this is an important statement that the Shaykh closes with, yani that the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who followed them in their way. And so, yani, whenever we think about Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we have to be careful that some people say that the Ahl Sunnah are everybody other than the Shia. In a general sense, yani, we say that people who are not Shia are Ahl Sunnah. But in reality, the Ahl Sunnah are not everybody who's not Shiite. Rather, the Ahl Sunnah are the companions of the Prophet and whoever followed their way. And whoever opposed their way, Shiite or not Shiite, it doesn't matter, Ash'ariyya, Maturidiyya, yani whoever opposed the way of the Sahaba, then they are not from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to whatever extent they opposed their way, or completely distanced from them. He closes by saying, Wafaqallahu al-Jami'a, may Allah grant success to all of the believers, all of the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to stop with this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.